Next on News for the Soul, Eyes Wide Open with Janessa and SJ. We are multifaceted beings living in a multidimensional existence. We hold the power of perception. And this power alone paints our reality. Perception influences the things we see and the things we don't see. Together, we'll explore the mystical and the material, the metaphysical and the physical, the supernatural and the concrete, the seen and the unseen. Please welcome Janessa and SJ back to News for the Soul.
Hello, News for the Soul family. I am your host for this evening, Janessa Finley Ford, and I am a healer and an empowerment coach who guides leaders, healers, and high achievers to traverse anything that life brings their way. So as you master the art of being human, it is so easy to move through anything in life, even when life throws you some curveballs. And we have some curveballs here in the Midwest on Friday. Man, we had 47 tornadoes in the state of Nebraska I saw alone, and most of them were in a really small area in the southeast part of the state. It was crazy. It's crazy to have 47 tornadoes in one state in a matter of hours. That alone is just absolutely bananas. I don't know what the total tornado count was. I think I saw that it was 80, and I did not keep up with the storms that moved through on Saturday. I know there were deaths, unfortunately, in Oklahoma, but Texas and Oklahoma, and I'm not sure where else got hit with some tornadoes on Saturday. The tornadoes that went through here on Friday also did some extensive damage in Iowa. But, you know, we're not the only place that is seeing this unprecedented weather patterns. In Dubai, there were 6 inches of rain in a day, which is unheard of for Dubai. Often, I think from what I saw, the statistics said Dubai will see that within a year. So to have that in a day is just, they're not prepared for it. They don't have the drainage systems. So there is a lot of flooding. And I know there are other weather events going on in other parts of the world. But a little bit heavier start to our show than normal, right? Because I usually start with a funny story. I have not forgotten. We are getting to that. And my funny story does have to do with the tornadoes. So it was important to share that to lead into the funny story for today. And before I forget, I will be welcoming callers. I will be taking any of your questions if you want to email those in. And also for those of you who want a face, a visual, you can jump onto Facebook into the Stronger Together Fall in Love with You group. I lie. This was supposed to be live streamed to that group. You can go to my personal page, Janessa Finley Ford. That is where it is today. Going forward, it will be in the group. But I think some things had changed with the streaming. And to get it streamed, we went with what worked. And that's on my personal page. So you can join me, Janessa Finley Ford, on Facebook if you'd like to see me fumbling behind the scenes through all of the notes and things and emails and questions and see my smiling face. So, the funny story to get us started with the tornadoes that went through. Gosh, there's so many funny stories, which I think says something about the resiliency of humans, right? Because you can endure such a traumatic, such a tragic situation, and to be able to roll through it and to bring humor, to bring the lighter side of life, to bring joy into such an unpleasant experience is really truly saying something. So I love that I have multiple stories to pull from for this. To first explain how close this was, I am not sure the exact path of the tornado. If it went diagonally, it would have been very close to my property, my house. And my husband took a picture of the tornado after it had gone, you know, over or around, however that worked out. So I don't think it was touched down based upon where the damage was, but you could see the tornado in the cloud from our driveway. And that picture's on my Facebook page too, if you're interested in seeing it. And I thought when that happened, like, we were so close and we were so blessed to be protected. And then when the storm front continued to move through and it touched down in Elkhorn and Omaha area, it even hit the airport, and then pushed through in Iowa and did damage there, I realized how far away we were from that storm. So I used to live over in Omaha, and there is a piece of my heart that will forever be with Omaha. I get spirit bumps in my arms just talking about it. It truly is a cherished place for me. So when the storms first happened, I wasn't sure if I could go and help with the cleanup efforts. In fact, I even texted my mom, and I was like, I just don't know that I have it in me after the last couple of years to see this many people in pain, what I thought would be pain, what is pain. However, again, it speaks to people's resiliency and also the trauma. We'll get into the trauma process later of being in shock. But the calling, it kept calling me to just go. So I was going to go on Sunday, but we had a bunch of rain and they called off volunteers because of the weather. And so Monday it was bright, shiny sky, and it was in the 70s. The weather was beautiful. So I made the hour drive over and I got to the volunteer site, and I'm a rookie. Like, I've never volunteered. And when we did storm cleanup in the rural area, you know, the farmers, like, we're just going to take care of each other. It's a pretty small operation, or even within a small town, you know, you pitch in, you help with some people's yards. When there's a town of 400 people, there's not that many properties. Like, I had never been involved with anything on this scale. So to see even an emergency management event operating was really, really cool. And to be a part of it was even more rad. So I show up, I go alone. And I go to the tent to check in, and you sign a waiver. I sign the waiver online, and so they're like, okay, well, we'll just have you stand and wait. I don't think I waited for longer than 5 minutes while I was standing there. There were two women that came and stood in front of me off to my right, and there was another woman who walked up and stood next to me right to my left, and I greeted her. She greeted me. She was a nurse. She'd been on call the night before, wanted to pitch in, couldn't be there all day. And so they said that they were going to send us to a neighboring community that had many rural properties that had been hit and wasn't getting the response of help because they didn't know these properties had been damaged as early as they did, of course, with the properties that were right there within the metro area. So this drive should have been like 20 minutes, and we were responsible to get ourselves to that site. So they literally give you an address and you're relying on, I mean, we live in the age of technology, right? So we're not relying on a paper map. Oh no, we are relying upon the intelligence of the technology, of Siri, who wants us to take a left turn, take a left turn, take a left turn. Like, Siri, we can't turn left. So what we didn't know as rookies is that there's going to be 365 different detours and turnarounds, and just the level of chaos that comes from a storm. Of course, logic, right? There's power lines that were down. There were trees that were down. There's roads that were blocked, and many of the roads were opened, but many of the roads, when the electrical crew were there working on the power lines, they would close the road for quite a distance on each side, were varying. You know, there was no way to really keep track of that to report to the volunteers. You can get to this property going in this direction. And so, like, you can say we were the stereotypical women drivers. The three other women that I mentioned that were just standing in close proximity, we all had about the same amount of time that we were available to help. And so we just decided to go together, and two of them, the two that were standing off to my right, were sisters, so they knew each other. But it just blended together really, really well. But we were just driving around like we had no clue how to do life or get to this location. It was crazy, but instead of getting frustrated about it, instead of getting crusty over it, instead of, you know, having so many reactions, my default reaction usually would be impatient. So I'm really glad I wasn't driving, because I know my frustration would have heightened if I were the one feeling as though I was keeping us from making it to where we could actually offer help. But man, I mean, we just laughed and we joked, and we really embraced our driving around. It's kind of like we're back in high school, just cruising the streets, you know, taking in the scenery, doing the thing while we were trying to get there. Once we got to the site, like, there are not words nor photos to explain the damage. And I did post some photos on Facebook, but I do want to preface in saying that, you know, with the trauma of the weather events, the fear that can come from the things that are outside of our control, SJ led a really cool, really powerful healing in that Stronger Together space on Saturday. It's free to anyone who wants to watch. And if you do find yourself, I know that we have a listening audience much broader than the United States, and I know that the storm news made national news, so there's probably a lot of images that a lot of people have seen. If you find yourself affected by that, please go watch that healing that SJ put up. It will absolutely help you process through that fear and uncertainty and the shock, the hurt, the sadness, and everything that comes through with trauma and or phobic energy. But once we got there, literally just taking in the damage, your brain has to acclimate to what you're standing in. And I couldn't imagine being one of the victims, because as a volunteer, I have no personal attachment to the, you know, material there. Like, I don't have the sentimental or the emotional attachment to what has been destroyed. And even I stopped and there's just this overwhelming, you don't even know where to begin. You don't know where to start. And so you have to move through, like, that's that initial piece that comes with trauma is shock and fear. And so for me, I could feel that shock. And I, instead of like pressing myself to push through it, I took a few deep breaths. I knew what was happening within my body. I let it go. And then just chunk it down. It's one piece at a time. And with the volunteers that were there, you know, we did so much more in the amount of time that we were there than I could have ever imagined. We had nearly an entire property that had collapsed, cleaned up. And as you learn the story of the property, it's really cool too to be involved in what you find and what you recover. Because it's just not logical. Like, the things about this, you know, storm scattering people's possessions far and wide is absolutely illogical. In the top of one of what was left of a tree, which wasn't a whole lot, was a twin-size mattress. And there's a picture of that on my Facebook page. It's hard to tell it's even a mattress. It's this black folded blob in the top of a tree, but it's a mattress. There's a mattress in a tree. And equally illogical is the fact that the structure had collapsed, but collapsed around a minivan that they were able to get in and drive it out of there. And the back window was broken out, but in comparison to all of the other damage, that van was minimally damaged. It's just so wild to see what is left behind and what is strewn forever far away. You know, there's reports of possessions being found that belonged in the Lincoln, Nebraska area, 2 hours away. There's reports of people's wedding rings being found, you know, a large distance away from the property of where it was swept up in the vortex. And the property, so I found a guest book. And when I found the guest book, we didn't know the history of the place we were helping with. We just knew there was a house on the property as well. Its roof had been largely torn off on, well, I guess half of the roof. So the backside of the house, the roof was completely torn off. And, you know, the house, it appeared, because this other structure had completely collapsed, it looked like that house actually fared the storm, weathered the storm really, really well, which is also mind-bending. Like, they're feet apart from one another. But the building had been used for housing missionaries, and then their grandchildren also would stay when they would come visit in that space. And you could tell it had been put up with barnwood on the outside. It was really cool. And they had bunk beds in it that had been varnished, like wood handmade bunk beds. So you could tell there was so much love that had gone into this property. But on our drive back, when we were done, that guest book, that I had a moment, like my light bulb turned on, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I found their guest book. Like, I get it now. They were hosting missionaries, and they had a guest book of people who stayed there that signed and wrote of memories of being there on their property. So I'm sure that they will be really heartwarmed when they do find some of the things that were able to be recovered. So that is the nuts and bolts of my experience with, you know, this weather experience. And one of the other things I wanted to share with you was the perspective, right? And understanding trauma. And part of the trauma of processing trauma, it goes in the order, as I mentioned, shock and fear is the first thing that you encounter. But if you get stuck in like begrudging energy, you may need to process that before you can even process through the shock and trauma. But after shock and trauma is anger, rage, and then there's sadness and sorrow, hurt and pain. And then you get into shame, blame, and guilt. And so, you know, I would see people on social media platforms shaming people for not helping, shaming people for going about what appeared to be their normal life. And sure, there are people out there who probably aren't going to help, that are completely me-oriented versus we-oriented. I'm not here to make excuses for anyone. But what I do want to teach and educate on is allowing people to go through their own process of trauma. And congratulations to the people who hit shame, shame, blame, and guilt before people who are maybe still stuck in the fear and are so overwhelmed with fear they don't want to go outside of their normal routine yet. And this is really what makes having these tools, being well equipped to handle life on life's terms, so valuable. Because when you have the ability to process your trauma response from something such as this, that you have no control over it occurring or how it's going to affect you, you can get back in the game of life so much quicker. And then you don't get stuck in that fight, flight, or the freeze, or the me focused. And you can be there with others and be we oriented, which is really beautiful. And someone had commented on the looting that was occurring, is occurring, maybe still, I'm not sure. But looting had been occurring in the neighborhoods at night, some of the neighborhoods that had been demolished. I think they were talking about there may be a few, I can't recall the exact number. And of course, I don't want to spread misinformation, but I do believe it was around 100 properties or more that may have to be completely demolished because they were so badly destroyed. And so people were going in and looting these properties, I'm sure with the mindset that, well, they can get the goods and the homeowner is going to get the insurance claim or something. I don't even know. I probably shouldn't try to justify it for them. And so it's really interesting to see the dynamic in humanity. But until I had gone and volunteered, I actually hadn't even heard about it. It was one of the other volunteers that told me about the looting. And it's really interesting to see people's perspectives of if they see people showing up and uplifting humanity. I mean, that was my total experience. I went and did something that I wasn't even sure I could do. And we'll talk about how I got there in a minute. And when I did it, I was helping others, but I was so filled. I was actually overflowing with purpose by being there. And all I was seeing around me was this positive, wonderful response. And again, I'm not here to like gaslight myself and say there's no looting or other things happening. Of course, that's happening as well. But I do believe that once you build, you know, this belief system, what you're exposed to and what you experience and what the world brings to you, what God brings to you, what the universe brings to you is exactly what you believe in. And so when you believe in the good, then the good shows up around you. And when you're part of the good, you attract good to you. And that's a very, very Enneagram 1 perspective, the good and the bad, but you understand what I'm saying with that. So I have been attempting to bring the topic of confidence to the radio show for a bit. And I, even last time, I think we got about 15 minutes or so of the topic on air. It is different than what I'm talking about here today. So if you are interested in cultivating more confidence within you, go back, snag those 15 minutes. But confidence isn't actually created from doing things that you're comfortable doing. The confidence comes when you're doing things that frighten you. So clearly you don't have confidence when you start. Now, there is a difference between self-confidence and general confidence. So what I'm talking about is that confidence in doing something. And what I did share in the previous episode, super relevant here though as well, is that if you look at babies and you look at our young children, they don't need confidence to try to figure out how to crawl, how to walk, how to do any of those developmental things. They fall down, they get back up. They fall down, they get back up. They trip and fall, they might cry, they get back up, right? They don't need confidence. They're just so confident and they have so much courage in, I shouldn't say that they're confident, but what I was going to say is that they are confident in their ability to figure it out. They have so much courage, which the courage is what gets them started. So I want to clearly articulate that. Their confidence comes in the ability to figure it out, to embrace the learning. And they have courage to take the action. And that's really where I was. I listened to that inner prompting over and over and over again. And I know my intuition. And I know it is so very accurate nearly all of the time. But I just needed to tap into the courage to get there. Now, for those of you who are not naturally inclined to be courageous people, you need some Enneagram 7s in your life because typically, normally, Enneagram 7s, they have courage. You know, SJ has courage. Like, she can be bold, bold in her actions, bold in her words. I adore it. I absolutely adore it. I have another Enneagram 7 client who just traveled abroad. I'm not even sure how many countries she visited while she was abroad, and she went alone. And that courage, I was just so inspired. And I'm like, there it is. It's an Enneagram 7 showing up with their courage. So if you want that modeled for you, call in some Enneagram 7s in your life, and you will find the courage. And the courage is so valuable because it takes courage to get us started. Sometimes we mistakenly believe and misunderstand the process that we need confidence to get us started, but what is required to get started is actually courage. So once we have courage, we can get ourselves in action, into motion. And once we start doing the thing, that's then when the motivation shows up. The motivation doesn't usually come beforehand either. This too, we misunderstand the process and think, oh, I need to be motivated. I need some motivation. And we just kind of wait for that motivation. And oftentimes, if we are leaning into motivation, we're all going to be waiting a real hot minute because it's inspiration. If you can cultivate courage and you can cultivate inspiration and get started, then you're going to find the motivation. And motivation and momentum is going to build to carry you through to completion. Now, once you get to completion, especially success, you're going to find confidence on the other end of that. But I want to invite you here today to not let success be defined as the outcome that you absolutely wanted, but rather I invite you to let success be the fact that you made it to completion. Because no matter which way, upside down, good, inside out, right, wrong, or indifferent, that it goes, once you're done, you have so much information. You have so much information at your fingertips, and that wisdom and the information that you have can build your confidence as long as you allow it to. It's literally your choice. It's literally your perspective. You can say, well, this didn't go well, so I don't have any confidence. Or you can say, okay, now I know 1 to 55 approximately more things about this situation, and I'm confident from the knowing of what I learned, right? And you can jump back up like that little kiddo that's learning to walk, that tumbles and falls, and gets right back up and takes a few more steps. So I want to repeat that again. I received some feedback yesterday from someone who has long been in the public speaking world, and she told me that I talk too fast. I was actually really surprised because I often think when I rewatch myself that I talk slow. But there is the fact that when you're hearing new information, when this isn't information you know, that it could be given slower so you have time to process it. So to really allow you to lean in, because this is some of the key points that I want to share with you here today, I'm going to repeat this process of how we get started and how you yield confidence on the end. So we're looking for courage and inspiration. We're cultivating courage, inspiration, perhaps even the decision to just get up and just do. Get started, make it happen. So as you build that courage and that inspiration, you get yourself into action. And from action comes the momentum, comes the motivation. We're not waiting for motivation to get us started because it shows up like a magical fairy in its own little timing that usually doesn't align with what life really requires. So we're leaning into inspiration and courage. You're going to find the momentum and the motivation as you get started. And as you move through to completion, on the end of that, you shall find success and confidence. Now, one of the things I started to get into in the last episode where I was talking about confidence was ways to really leverage and lean into confidence when you're not feeling confident in the scenario or situation that you're in. So I'm going to talk fairly briefly about that with you here today because it's just really a matter of where you place your focus and the perspective that you hold. So I had shared that recently I was working with someone who was going to have to testify in court, and they had never been in a court setting before. And so I love that I was able to assist them with that, having both the mindset and the energetics, but also the lived experience to share with them. And it's valuable to know that people really lean into competence and warmth in finding somebody credible. So if you come across competent and you come across warm, and people will determine this subconsciously, then you're going to have a better reception from those around you. And so being in a situation such as this, something that may be really intimidating, something that may be, you know, frightening and scary, where confidence comes from, right? If we can look at the things that we are confident in, you know, our confidence radiates from us. It's in the way that we walk. It's in the way that we talk. It's in our body movement, our body language, in the way that we carry ourselves, in the way we interact with others. And so if you're in a situation and you're not feeling very confident, are you confident in the way that you're carrying your body? And you've lived in this body for how many years? So surely you're confident in your ability to stand straight, to take up some space, to expand, You're confident in your ability to walk across the room. You're confident in your ability to have a conversation with people or to even be asked a whole bunch of questions. You know, like in the court example, man, I've been answering questions that my parents were giving me about my curfew and where I've been and whatever since I was a kid, right? Like, this isn't new. This isn't actually new. We can find situations that are similar but different, but similar in their tone, and anchor ourselves into those things that we have already done, and anchor ourselves into the things that we are really confident in. Now, I was not confident when I started this radio show. Could talk. I sure had done public speaking, especially as a drug court coordinator. But, you know, a lot of that was really scripted. So to have a beautiful platform where I get to speak of anything I want to speak about, I didn't have confidence in that. Actually, a lot of that was frightening. So I'm doing it anyway. And as we go, we get a little bit better and a little bit better. And the confidence grows and it grows. So it looks like I have a caller. Area code 504. I'll welcome you on the air. How are you?
Hi.
Hello. What's your name?
My name is Deborah.
Deborah.
And I'm welcome. Having a kind of a rough time with my older mom. Caring for her is more mental caring for her than and lifestyle. I just feel like I bit off more than I can chew, and that I feel like I need to just give up.
All right, take a few breaths for me. I'm just going to work some energy if you're okay with that.
Yeah.
And then we'll see what comes up for you as we kind of work through some of that discouragement that you're expressing. So we're going to start by connecting your energy system. And one question that's coming up for me, Deborah, is what is the worst thing that could happen if you did bite off more than you could chew and you had to pivot and choose to do something different in the situation you're in?
I know it's not what she wants, and I feel maybe like I failed, like I wasn't as strong as I thought I was.
Okay. There's some stuck energy, really young, around 1 year old, so take a breath on that and we'll clear that out. And there's some spiritual energy around the fear. Keep breathing. We're just going to keep clearing. And then there's some generational trauma around healthcare, medical care, diagnoses. So just take some deep breaths on that. We're going to clear that out from both mom's side and dad's side of the family, and then also the soul memory energy. You're doing a great job. Deborah, do you happen to be a regular listener of the show? And it's no problem
yes.
if you're not. I don't.
Yes.
So you may have
On and
heard
off.
Me talking about. Yeah, you may have heard me talking about over the last year, my family providing hospice care for my grandparents.
I don't
and
remember.
That's okay. I certainly have not walked in your shoes, but I do just want to normalize that with everything I saw my family navigate through, they too went through the, we're not sure. We're not sure if we can do this. So first of all, I want to ask, are you doing this alone? Do you have support? Do you have any other care that's taking some shifts or time with your mom, or is everything on you?
Everything's on me.
And have you looked into any options, having additional home health care provided so that you're not the 24/7 provider?
I was thinking about that, but I haven't, like, I think I would need to get a job. So I'm looking for maybe like a work from home job so that I could, because I worry if I'm out too long, but it just depends on her mental state. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes you're like, okay, this is all right. And then it could switch on a dime. And then, you know, and some of it is energy on her part because she's so stubborn.
I'm going to tune into that for just a second. I have permission to send her a dedication, so let me support her too while I'm on the phone with you. And I'm going to tune into the relationship energy between you and your mom specifically.
Okay.
And are you living with anyone else? Is there anyone else in the household, I guess?
No, just me, her, animals, and my...
Sure.
I have family, like a sister that lives nearby, and my boyfriend lives really close and like walking distance. But they just, they just want to be done with the problem. Like, it's just a problem, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And as mean as she is, she's a human, you know, and as maybe mentally ill as she is, she's still human.
Take a few more breaths for me. And then I want to release any of those family patterns where things have always been a certain way that it just seems like it should be the norm. So this can be from communication patterns to manipulation patterns. It can be, you know, all sorts of different things. So as many of those entanglements that we can release right now, go ahead and breathe, and we are going to just unbind and unwind those entanglements.
Okay.
And I need, this is something I often have with my clients. I need you to do something after this call, but I need you to do this for you. And it's to have a really real, real moment with yourself. I call them really real, real moments. And establishing what does it look like, when is it, where is your boundary that you honor you, what is too much? How do you know you've reached that point where it's too much? So then you don't have this constant mental messaging running in the back of your head every day, doubting and questioning. You can look at it objectively. Okay, this is my too much. Are we there? No. So maybe I'm kind of frustrated. Maybe I'm kind of annoyed. I'm going to, you know, deal with whatever I'm dealing with. But I'm not there yet. But if you're there, then you honor yourself and say, okay, I have done as much as I can, and I give myself permission to love me first. It's such a challenge. Like, I have so much compassion for you because it is such a challenging, challenging time to walk through those golden ages with the ones that we love and to honor their wishes and to also deal with the health implications that has the mental health implications that it has. You know, it definitely has a ripple effect to caregivers that is really profound. And so it can be a lot of things to say, you know, this is my limit and I'm here. But it's really important to know where that limit is so that you can define that for yourself.
Okay,
so now as you tune into the situation and the things that you're dealing with, what is the next thought or feeling or sensation in your body that comes up?
Before you got on the phone, the bottom of my feet started kind of like tingling. I won't say burning, but like tingling, which I haven't been aware of unless I just started running my energy.
Yeah. Are they still tingling now?
A little bit, yeah. I was driving around. I got out of my car, and I'm just sitting in somebody's staircase. Maybe I felt like I needed to just sit somewhere, and I just got out of my car, and I'm sitting on some stairs.
Okay, take a deep breath. I'm just going to help shift a couple more layers of stuck energy. How would you like to feel, Deborah? This could be a challenging question, so sit with that as long as you need to, but how would you like to feel as you navigate this era?
With more ease and levity.
Okay.
And I noticed last week that the energy was like cutting me. The way I figured that out was because I accidentally cut myself with a box cutter. And then I stepped on a tack and I thought, okay, something is cutting me like on different levels. And that was most of last week. And I said, this is different. And it's some symptom of something else because that doesn't happen to me very often. So I know that I got raw, but that's why I wanted the levity. And I imagined like a rubber suit around me. So it would bounce a little better. And
oh, I love
I also
that image.
Had, like a rubber suit man.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I haven't been cutting or stepping on things, but and I also asked. It seemed like I asked for some of the padding to be, even though I asked for rubber. I asked for some of my weight to release because I'm only overweight when I'm around this person, and which is my mother, and she's living with me, so I'm overweight right now. But as I look back, the only times I've ever been overweight is when we lived under the same roof. So I asked for some of the padding to be gone, and some was, but I noticed today it went back up and the energy was rough, you know, because she can feel energy too. She's pretty gifted.
Yeah.
Herself. So another reason.
Okay, so as
you
were
really...
talking, sorry, go ahead.
No, that's fine.
As you were talking, I was just shifting some energy. So take a few more breaths. I was working on ease, and then I'll work on the levity.
Joy, too.
Yeah, there's some space there. Take a breath. You know, it's interesting when I follow the energy, the joy, like I have joy caring for my mom. I have joy being with my mom. It seems like there is something that definitive that she does, and then the energy goes weak on it. So the lack of joy seems more situational when I tune into the energy than the actual circumstances of the caregiving.
I think that's an energy she can't access. And it probably feels bad to her, but maybe that's what cuts me. she's very verbal, let's put it that way.
So I think you're very, it sounds like you're very aware of what you are protecting yourself from with her, but mm-hmm. holding weight tends to be a very predominant protection measure from an emotional standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And so journaling, self-reflecting, if you haven't already, on some different ways that you can protect yourself other than with the holding the weight.
Okay.
May help you both mentally, emotionally, and physically.
Okay.
And then there's right. a simple little exercise of holding your head, the front and the back of your head. It's called unwinding the frontal and occipital lobe. And I would invite you to do that, like, at least at night before you go to sleep, at the end of your day, or when you get really stressed out. It helps activate the amygdala, which is part of our trauma response. When things, our nervous system starts flaring, the part of the brain that goes into fight, flight, or freeze. So it helps you process through those things more often. So if you can keep that in mind and keep that tool tucked in your tool belt and use it at the end of the day.
Did you say literally holding your head?
Yeah. Okay. I know. It sounds so simple that it can't even be profound, but it's really profound. Yes, just
okay.
holding your head, the front and back, for, you know, 3 to 5 minutes.
Well,
and
I was worried about
the emotions that you're feeling process.
Yeah.
Yep, it'll help. It'll help. And it'll actually, with the intention of releasing any of the energy that isn't yours in your energy field, processing the emotions, maybe letting them drain out the beat where you're having that buzzing, all of that will really help you, support you each and every day as you go through them.
I like that. Thank you. That's such a gift.
Yes, you're welcome. All right, take a couple last cleansing breaths, and we're just going to do a little final integration, make sure we fill the space we created with light and love and truth and peace and power and calm. And please remember to define what is your bottom line. What is your, this is too much and I honor myself in that.
I think I'm close, actually.
And that's okay.
If not.
That's okay.
Okay.
That's okay. But it has to be okay with you, right? Like, I can tell you that, but at the end of the day, you have to give yourself permission for that.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you so much for calling in. Keep me posted on how things go.
Connect I sure
with
will.
Me. Email fiercelyradiant@yahoo.com, fiercelyradiantsoul, actually. You can email me or you can connect with me on social media, but keep me posted. I'm wishing you the very best.
What's your social media?
So I am on both Facebook and I'm on Instagram. And Facebook is my name, Janessa Finley Ford.
Okay.
And then Instagram, it's fiercely_radiant_soul.
I sure will.
Awesome. You take care of yourself, Deborah.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Sending you lots of love. All right. So we are almost to the top of the hour. Look at that. Time flies on this show. So I wanted to talk to you about an evaluation process because as we were talking about the confidence and getting to that completion and the success, what really allows us to come into confidence is taking the wisdom and the learning that we have from the experience that we had, and that's when we really leverage our confidence. But I'm going to save that for another show because there is a process, a particular process, and it's pretty entertaining that I like to use. So instead of getting into that, let us look at our takeaways for today's show. So our main takeaways were with trauma, right? We understand trauma processes in a certain order and starts with shock and fear and shame and blame and guilt is part of that. And shame is actually the lowest level emotion that any of us can experience. And so when you see people on a rant, shame on you, they're actually sliding people with really, really low vibrating energy that isn't actually going to help move that person in a positive direction. So when you're feeling that blame or that shame, do some natural biodistressing, tapping, do some breath work, grab your crystals, do whatever you need. Keep yourself in alignment, right? And have compassion for what people are going through as they process through trauma at their own rate, at their own pace, and with whatever tools they do or don't have available to them. Another takeaway from today is that confidence is not required to begin something that we want to do. It's actually a byproduct of doing things that frighten us. And so at some point we have to leap and grow those wings on the way down. And then I invite you, if you are one of the people who feel like you just lack confidence in so many areas of your life, really journal and explore those things more deeply. Why is it that you lack confidence? List out all the things that you lack confidence in, and then start looking at why it is that you don't feel that confident about them. And I bet, I could be wrong, but I bet there will be, for a large part, a general theme that you haven't yet mastered them. So if we go back to that childlike resiliency of being so confident in the ability to figure it out, having so much courage to just keep going, if you haven't mastered it yet, then your confidence is probably lacking. So then reverse engineering and looking at, well, of the things I've tried and that I've done, what information have I gathered that's going to serve me in moving forward and doing the goal, reaching the goal, having the goal? So I really invite you in that process to have fun in that engineering process, in the figuring it out process. Have as much fun and lightness, just like Deborah was saying on the call, the ease, the levity. Bring that fun, playful energy into it, because that's when you're going to have more flow and less fear. And then if you're one of the people where not only are you lacking confidence, you're lacking self-confidence, you're lacking esteem and self-esteem, you're lacking worth and self-worth, you're lacking self-assurance, if this is you, let's connect and let's get to the bottom of the self-rejection, because that screams self-rejection over and over and over in all of the ways. If your self-worth, the self-esteem, the self-love, all of that is weak, that is a self-rejection pattern, and you do not have to live with that. And life is so much more fulfilling when you don't. So we can dig into why those things started showing up for you and get you that relief that you really, truly desire. And we're able to do that in several different ways. SJ and I have the Stronger Together group platform that we have different topics every month. This month we are focusing on depression, and our next call is tomorrow evening, guys. So we have a call the first, second, and fourth Thursdays of each month, so we'll have a group coaching call tomorrow night. If you would like to be there to have some energy work like what you heard demonstrated this evening, to have the real-time coaching, to have a platform of tools like the UFO holding that I just explained. We have like almost 20 other things up our sleeves that we share with people to be able to move through the days with more grace and ease. All of that's in that platform. If you're interested in one-on-one healing services, you can reach out to me. Or if you're interested in longer-term coaching packages, I have that available as well. We can jump on a discovery session call and figure out what would meet you with where you are and get you where you want to be. You can find those and book those discovery calls on my website, www.fiercelyradiantsoul.com. You can also find the information for Stronger Together on my website. And if you're interested in connecting, please just book on my calendar and we will connect very soon. Next week, SJ will be back with me, I think, or chatting depression, because that's typically how we roll. If not, it'll be a surprise. But either way, we will see you next Wednesday. And until then, keep your eyes wide open.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.